You are listening to A True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Pastor Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Read it in its entirety at your own leisure. For the sake of our text, we want to begin reading at verse 13, where it says, "Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains afire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid of thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." Amen. Emphasis on verse 15, "So persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm." The message is entitled, "Storms Keep Coming." Amen. Storms keep coming. Some years ago when I was in college and I had a course in counseling psychology, our professor was a very young man who, when we was teaching the class of psychology about bereavement and about those that mourn and how to counsel them, had talked of his own story of how he and his wife had been expecting their first child, a little girl, and how everything was anticipation with both sides of the family. There was much joy. They're Christians and they just believed that God was going to bless them with this little bundle from heaven. They had the shower that comes of having the expected mother. And everything was fine until the birthing day. And they found that the baby had the umbilical cord wrapped around her throat. And the baby died. And he talked about how devastated he was, how angry he was at God. Being a good Christian and being righteous, he thought it would have prevented this catastrophe from happening to them. And I should tell you that I don't care how righteous and holy you are, storms keep coming. Well, he didn't work for a while. He wouldn't go to school. He could hardly eat. And he was just devastated. He couldn't really comfort his wife. And she was trying to comfort him. And this great loss just took a hold of him. He said he'd never had anyone close in his life die because his parents and grandparents were both alive. He said, but to finish his course that he had taken in college and he was near the end, he had to do his internship in a black church in Detroit. And I should tell you that my professor was Caucasian. And he said he was at the black church with the pastor and he noticed that down in the summertime, seemed like every week there was a funeral. All right. And the people seemed like they mourned, but they didn't mourn it like he mourned over his lost child. And they had a little support group that the pastor invited him to listen to some of the stories that they said that he might learn how to counsel the bereaved. And in listening to the story they told, and he told his story. There was an old lady who said that, "Son, I know you were devastated, but let me tell you something. We don't have the luxury you have. You have the luxury of being able to not go to work and your bills still get paid. You have the luxury of standing around the house and nowhere to go. But we don't have that luxury. I've lost my children. I've lost brothers and sisters. I've lost my mother. And I had to mourn, but I had to grip myself and get together because storms keep coming." And I know that I'm talking to somebody right now. You just come out of a storm, you're in a storm right now, or you're headed for a storm. Because storms, they keep coming. There's all kinds of storms we go through. But this week, this week has been very interesting to me, and much said, because people are funny, and especially in this country. You see, there's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this old way. If your soul not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. And I've seen the drifting away of America as they drifted away from the Word of God and from the principles of God's Word. America has been drifting for some time now, and it seemed like it's getting worse and worse. Why would you riot because someone tore down the statue? That statue wasn't bothering nobody. And the very fact that you tore down the statue made some folk angry and showed up racism and bigotry jumped out the box. Amen. And then they had the nerve to cover up the statue. And that'll make it a really eyesore. Don't you know there's some statues around here? I don't know whose that statue is. Don't care who that statue is. There's a statue on Belle Isle I've been seeing all my life. I don't know what that statue stands for. I don't know who that man is up on that horse. And don't care. We do things to incite the bigotry and the racism that's already in this country. Amen. But this has been interesting. Last week, amen, and, you know, racism is still running rampant across the nation, but the nation paused for a moment to look at the sun being eclipsed by the moon. They thought that was a fascinating thing. They ain't seen nothing yet. Read the book of Revelation. The stars gonna fall from their sockets, amen. You ain't seen nothing yet. People spend hundreds and thousands of dollars to go, and they rented out places to look at the moon go in front of the sun. Yeah, but there's been an eclipse of the real sun, the Son of God, amen. And this week, amen, I've noticed that they got past that, and then there's an excitement after the eclipse. The excitement was the hope of winning $758.7 million in the Powerball lottery. That's all that was on TV, and people were hoping they had the winning ticket, and some of you probably did too. Amen. But the fact that you're here show me that you didn't get it. And if you did, you sure wouldn't be here today. Amen. Now you're laughing because you know I'm not lying. Amen. Just this week, and then America has drifted so far off course until they don't understand that we need to be in prayer for those down in Texas and Louisiana and other places, amen, as Hurricane Harvey reached the shores on Friday. Harvey came in as a Category 4, and it reached the shores of Southeast Texas Friday, and the winds and the rains have been doing heavy damage ever since. As a matter of fact, I believe it's raining now. They've already received about 2 feet of rain, and more rain is expected, more rain is coming. The hurricane has been reduced to a tropical storm, and there's a threat of a tornado coming. And yet the end is not in sight, and rains aren't expected. Numerous water rescues have been ongoing at this time, and the Coast Guard have been brought in, and the National Guard and the Red Cross have been brought in to be actively trying to rescue people that's caught in a storm. But the storms keep coming. And no one is exempt from the storm. And they had plenty of warnings. They told them weeks in advance the storm is coming, but there's some people that think they're going to just weather the storm. They're going to stay and ride it out, as they say. They were interviewing some people who rode it out and said, I'll never do it again. Amen. And you'd be surprised how many people would not leave their home because they didn't want to leave behind their valuables. Let me tell you, the storm that's coming that I'm talking about will make you leave everything behind. Stuff. You mean you'll stay and take on the storm because of stuff? You can get some more stuff. You can't get no more you. Amen. But people think that they will weather the storm, that they will stay and they'll be exempted and the storm will pass over them. Haven't they talked to the people of that when Katrina hit? They still haven't rebuilt them cities down there. And then there's this flood that's coming up and the waters are coming up, and what can you do? When people get in trouble, they run to different places, and some try to just stand their ground because they think they're safe. But there's a storm out over the ocean.
Yes,
and it's moving this old way.
Yes, sir.
If your soul not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away.
Yes,
and there have been some drifting even within the church, not just the United States. The church don't even want to preach the gospel anymore. The church don't want to stand on the word of God and say, for God I'll live, for God I'll die. There are even some that have soft-pedaled sin and made sin a mistake. Sin is still sin. It still stinks in the nostrils of God. Amen. It seems all nature has been disturbed, and there are some people who try to weather the storm out. As a matter of fact, people get in trouble, they run to the church. They run to their Bible. And then when trouble ceases, they leave.
Amen.
Amen. It's like an umbrella. An umbrella was never supposed to be a permanent shelter. An umbrella is a portable shelter to help you get from your house to your car, from your car to your business, wherever you go. It's a temporary shelter. The umbrella just covers your head. It don't cover your feet. It don't stop the floodwaters. But people have come to the church like an umbrella. Like they think that because they're in the church, things ain't going to happen. Listen, being in the church is not the same as being in Christ. You need to be in Christ. If you're in Christ, you'll stay in the church. Get in Jesus. It's a permanent thing. Your soul needs to be saved. Everybody has a soul, and your soul is in danger. Amen. Amen. So Hurricane Harvey will... it will do its damage, and people still won't realize that their soul is in danger.
Amen.
And so that's what the psalmist had in mind.
Yes, sir.
Asaph had this in mind when he wrote this particular psalm. Asaph is a Levite, son of Berechiah, one of the leaders of David's choirs. Psalms 73 to 83 are attributed to him. And he was celebrated as a seer after this time. As a matter of fact, it was Asaph who sounded the cymbals before the Ark of the Covenant when it was moved from Obed-Edom's house to Jerusalem and David danced. So Asaph is writing, and he's talking about the enemies of Judah. And he wants God to come and take away their wrath and so forth. But it seemed not so much as to destroy or kill them, but to let them know that there is a God, a living God, a God named Jehovah, who they should fear.
Yes, sir.
That's what it seemed, that he's writing, and he said, Lord, I want you to show your wrath. I want you to rain down justice upon them. Let your tempest move and like a whirlwind and make them afraid of thy storm. You see, so some people will never turn to God unless they're afraid of the storm. Amen. But there's all kind of storms. Yes, it is. There are all kind of storms that come into our lives. Amen. There are storms that come in various ways. There's personal health issues that are storms. And it seems like storms just keep coming, because after you have a stroke, you could easily have another stroke. After you've had a heart attack, you're susceptible to have another heart attack. You get personal issues. And every time I go to the doctor, he's handing me another prescription or something to take. I'm taking pill on top of pill. And then I forget. I get up in the morning and say, baby, did you take your pill? She said, did you take your pills? Amen. Then you got to number and put them in a thing where you said Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you got to count to say, did I take my medicine this morning? Some of y'all laughing because y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen.
Yes, amen.
It ain't the medicine keeping me alive, though. It ain't nobody but Jesus. But there are health issues. And if you don't have health issues, God bless you, but just keep on living. Amen. You come in here sometime, your head hurt, your back hurt, your leg hurt, your arm hurt. Amen. Then I'm, you know, my wife, she thinks I fix everything. She told me the other day, she said, baby, my arm hurt when I do this. I said, don't do that. Stop doing that. Don't do that no more. Amen. That didn't fix it, but it, you know, that's for me. Don't do that no more. All of us have something to deal with. Amen. Seem like the doctors seem like they're making more money. The pharmaceutical industry is a racket. Amen. Amen. There's greed in this country, I tell you. We were just talking in the office about how some people got car insurance, paying more for car insurance than they are for the car note. Amen. They done paid more insurance already than the car is even worth. Amen. It's a racket, I tell you. There's greed in this country because we have drifted away from God's word. Yeah, there's all kind of personal issues, of health issues, there's family issues, marital issues. Oh, you in a storm. If you're married, you marry the storm. Amen. If you just got married, you ain't had no storm, hold on, the storm coming. You've been married for a while, you know you've had a couple of storms already. It's some more brewing, amen. You got to be careful how you talk. That's why I tell the men, I said, men, you have to be careful how you choose your words when you talk to your wife, because she's ready for a storm at all the time. Amen. Timing, temperament, and tone. And she'll come in the house, she'll give you a pop quiz. She'll say, do you love me? You better answer right away. You know I love you, girl. I was just getting ready to tell you how much I love you. See, that's good timing. But if you're waiting around talking about, well, let me see. The storm is brewing, brothers. It's brewing. Timing, temperament, and tone. Then there's some time you need to just tiptoe away. She asks you something, act like you're hard of hearing. Reverend told me he's going to get a hearing aid. And every now and then when he don't want to do listen to his wife, he's going to act like his battery run down. Amen. So what did you say? Oh, my battery ran down in the hearing aid. Yeah, well, yeah, there's going to be some storms. Yes, sir. That's financial storms. Some that we have caused and some others have caused us. And if you got children, you're going to always have some storms. Amen. You can't live your life for your children. We try to raise them and everything, but they're going to always come back. And my children come back to me, and I can tell in the tone of their voice when they say, Daddy, you're such a wonderful father. You're such a handsome man too, Daddy. I said, well, let me reach for the checkbook because my wallet can't handle this one. Amen. You know it's coming. You know it's coming. There's storms, financial storms. And the loss of loved ones. Listen, you don't know how some person is grieving. I talked to a man this morning. He said after 56 years of marriage, his wife died earlier this year. He's still grieving. And he may be grieving even longer than that because he's in the storm and the storms keep coming. They keep coming. Just when you think you're out of the storm, he'll go into a room and she's not there, the storm start coming again. Or we'll go to a restaurant and they cook something. My wife used to cook that, but she made it better. And the storm got brewing all over again. I'm telling you, when a person loses someone who you've been with for a while, it hurts. And a part of you seems like it's missing. When people want to talk about their loss, let them talk. Don't try to hush them up. Let them talk about it, because sometimes that's a release valve in what they're going through. You don't know unless you've lost someone close to you. But no matter what, you've got to steady yourself because another storm is coming. I know you miss your mama. I know you miss your loved ones. But another storm is coming. And you got to brace yourself. You don't have the luxury of moping around throwing a pity party because another storm is coming. What you have to do, you have to just grip the solid rock. You've got to hold on to Jesus and hold on to his word. That's why I tell you, keep reading God's word. Everything you need is in this Bible. everything that will get you over the hump is in this Bible. You've got to not only read it, you've got to believe it. You've got to trust in God. For the just shall live by faith. You got to have faith in the word of God. Brothers and sisters, I understand ASAP what he's saying. He's saying, Lord, I don't want you to hurt them. They're the many enemies, but I want you to just show your wrath. Let a storm hit them, and maybe the storm might change them. But there's some people who change just because of a storm. There are people sitting up in here right now whose soul is in jeopardy, and they think they're all right. Just because you're in the church. But are you in Jesus? Is Jesus in you? If Jesus is in you, you can tell by how you walk and how you talk, because the things you used to say, you can't say no more. And the things you used to do, you can't do no more. Even the things you used to think, you don't think no more, because Jesus is actively working in you through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord. Yes, sir. Thank you,
Jesus. Some years ago, my wife and I went to South Carolina for a funeral. And the family of the deceased sent a car to the airport to pick us up. And as we were riding, it was a long ride back to their home, I noticed there were signs that said evacuation route. I kept passing these signs that said evacuation route. So I asked the driver, what does that mean? He said, well, this is a four-lane highway. You got two lanes going this way, two lanes going that way. He said, but when the storm comes, this is the route that all four lanes go the same way to go to higher ground. To get away from the storm. There's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this old way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you'll surely drift away. Brothers and sisters, now is the time to go to higher ground. No higher ground than where the Lord is. Seek that higher ground, because the storm is coming. It's coming. People need to seek the higher ground. The higher ground of God's word. Be anchored in the word of God. Don't you know what the Bible says? That everybody, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And so Asaph was saying, Lord, I want you to deal with them, because they think they're safe. They think they're all right. I want them to make the wicked ashamed of themselves and disgraced by trifling with your people, Lord. Because don't you understand the church is under persecution right now? They're laughing at us. They don't believe in what we believe. But hold on, my God sees it all. Yes, he does. God does not sleep nor slumber. He knows everything that's going on. So the psalmist said, Lord, I want your wrath like a stormy tempest that they cannot escape, because if the storm comes, maybe they'll realize that they need a safe haven, that they'll need that ark of safety, that they'll need to put their trust in you, to know there is no other God but Jehovah, the Most High over all of the earth. They need to know that. Brothers and sisters, we are lights. We're lights that shine into this world to let this world know that we belong to God. Don't you realize that the trouble will continue to come? Racism will still be what it is. Murder and mayhem will be everywhere all the time. There's all kinds of storm. There's a storm of loneliness. And I've seen those people in that storm of loneliness. They can be in a crowd. They can be sitting in the church with people all around them just as lonely because they've lost a loved one. There's storms of addiction. Whether they're drugs, the opioid addiction is running rampant all over this country now. There's all kind of addictions. There's food addictions. Amen. There's moral addictions. People have lost their direction all over this world right now. People are not seeking God. They're coming to the church but not seeking the face of Jesus Christ. Not seeking to be saved. Thinking that they're okay. That what they have is good enough. No, it's not. If you haven't been bought by the precious blood of Jesus, if you haven't been washed by that blood, you're in danger. You need to go to higher ground. There's a one-way street to higher ground, and that way is Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. This ain't no two-way street. You can't go any way you want to go. You got to go the way the Lord would have you to go, and he would have you to go straight to Jesus. Yes. Yes, brothers and sisters. There's a way. Man, you think that there's a way that's better than another way. There are some that want to ride out the storm, but there's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this old way. And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. But God knows that before it's all over, even if I'm not on this side, if it's on the other side, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He came to pay the price, to be the Lord of all. He came here, and he came here on a mission from his Father to seek that which was lost and to save those. And I'm so glad he came to save me. And if you don't feel you're saved, maybe you just need to give yourself to Jesus Christ, to give yourself completely unto him. Don't you know that he came to save sinners like us? That's why he died on the cross. He didn't have to die, but it's the only way he could preserve us by dying for us. For he who knew no sin had all of our sins put upon him. And they nailed Jesus to a cross. They stretched him wide. They hung him high upon that cross. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. He suffered, he bled, and he died on that cross. And the blood that he shed from his wound was just enough to save every lost sinner. But you not have to know there's power in that blood. In the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of Jesus. They took him down from that cross. They put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. There's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this old way. And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. You'll drift away. You'll drift away. Hold on to Jesus. Grip that solid rock. Stay in his word. The only thing that will help. I told you a few weeks ago, you need to live rapture ready. When the Lord come and call his church on home, be ready, because it could be any day now. Just live rapture ready. The storm is coming. It's not going to be for a few days. It's going to be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Will you be ready? I want to see you on the other side. Thank God for the other side. Oh, there's another side, I tell you. Thank God for the other side. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we hope that it was a blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.